So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, the Vritti of Hiranyaksha, text 6 to 14. Graham punyat tamam manye, bhaganam shati dipitam, adhi charur vakra gatyam, uyudhuscha parasparam. Graham, planet. Punya Taman, most auspicious, Anye, others, the ominous planets, Bhaganam, luminaries, Cha, and Opi, also, Dipitaha, illuminating, Aticharu, overlap, Vakra Gatya, taking retrograde courses. Dututu, came into conflict. Cha, and Paraha Param, with one another. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, by Sharanaganda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones such as Mercury, Jupiter and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another. Please repeat. Ominous planets, such as Mars and Saturn, shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones, such as Mercury, Jupiter and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another. Therefore, the entire universe is moving under the three modes of material nature. The living entities, those living entities who are in goodness, are called pious species, pious lands, pious trees, etc. It is similar with the planets also. Many planets are considered pious and others are considered impious. Saturn and Mars are considered impious. When the pious planets shine very brightly, it is an auspicious sign. But when the inauspicious planets shine very brightly, this is not a very good sign. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Harahashita Shankar Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Reading from text 6 to 14, Translation. The luminaries in the heavens were screened by masses of clouds in which lightning sometimes flashed, although laughing. Darkness reigned everywhere, and nothing could be seen. The ocean with its high waves wailed aloud, as if stricken with sorrow, and there was commotion among the creatures inhabiting the ocean. The rivers and lakes are also agitated, and lotuses withered. Misty halos appeared around the sun and the moon during solar and lunar eclipses, again and again. Claps of thunder were heard, even without clouds. And sounds like those of rattling chariots emerged from the mountain caves. In the interior of the villages, she-jackals yelled portentously, vomiting strong fire from their mouths. The jackals and owls also joined them with their cries. Raising their necks, the dogs cried here and there, now in a manner of singing, and now of wailing. O Vidura, the asses run hither and thither in herds, striking the earth with their hard hoofs and wildly braying. Asses also feel very respectable as a race. And when they run in flocks hither and thither in so-called jollity, it is understood to be a bad sign for human society. Frightened by the braying of the asses, birds flew streaking from their nests, while cattle in the cowsheds, as well as in the woods, they passed dung and urine. Cows, terrified, yielded blood in place of milk. Clouds rained pus, and images of the gods in the temple shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. Ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones, such as Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came into conflict with one another. So here, at the event of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, these are all the inauspicious omens that are appearing throughout the world. Even yesterday at 2 o'clock, I was telling Panchakarni, the jackals were howling like anything. There's many jackals by the group, but they have a nice secluded place out there. 2 o'clock when the sun was up, jackals were howling. Not very good sign. Night creatures, but now they're coming out in the daytime. So, Srila Prabhupada says, auspicious or inauspicious, actually everything is bad in this material world. There is no good in the material world. You're in the material world, but it's a bad place, it's not the proper place. So everything is bad, but sometimes we make good and we define good and bad. But all bad, all these inauspicious things are happening. When inauspicious things happen, everybody runs to the tantrics and they get little mojos and gems and baba jars, all things like this, to protect them. And you see the tantric and I say, yes, yes, you have been touched by a tantric, you should wear this, you should do this. Because that's their business. So they have the same business. So they always say, yes, yes. So then they give you different. You have to pay them money and things like that. That's their livelihood. So they always say, yes, yes, yes. So everybody runs around making auspicious, trying to get auspicious cover charges for protection. But nobody's ever saying anything about Shatugun, Tamagun, and Rajagun, which at every moment of our lives, every second of our lives, is influencing us, possessing us. We are being touched by these evil elements, Shatugun, Rajagun, and nobody's complaining. As soon as something else happens, they're inauspicious.
Even Satguna is inauspicious.
Because the result of Satguna even is death and rebirth. And death and rebirth. Inauspicious.
We are eternal. Death and birth are inauspicious for us.
So even Satguna will simply cause you birth and death. Inauspicious. So this is the material world we're living in. And factually, this is what's happening in this material world. Everyone is simply trying to counteract the evil influences. Because they cause distress. Nobody wants distress. So let's try to counteract the distress influences and then we'll be happy in the material world. So this is the illusion. So it's designed like this for this very reason, because we want to be happy without Krishna. So it's designed, the material world is designed like this to wake us up to our real position as eternal servants of Krishna. We're never going to be happy in this material world. So it's designed like this, to make us, you know, everything is inauspicious. Birth and death again, our nature is eternality. It's unnatural, it's uncommon. It's foreign to us to live in the material world and take birth and death. So it's very skillfully designed by Krishna. So skillfully designed, we can't even see how it's happening. Even though at every moment that's all that's happening, we're being influenced by Krishna's energy. But we don't see Krishna. It's hard to see him even for a moment. But all that's in action is Krishna's energy at play. Under Krishna's direction. But we don't see it. We don't see Krishna, we don't see his energy at work. What we see is how happy I am, or how distressed I am. How to get away from unhappiness and how to get happiness. That's our only vision. Bewildered. And we don't see the thing that is very before our very eyes that is happening. By the modes of material nature, under Krishna's direction. So there's nothing auspicious in this material world. So that's why Krishna comes. Because auspiciousness comes from the spiritual world. It doesn't come from the material world. So Krishna comes to make it auspicious. Or he sends his representative. And everything becomes auspicious. It's like when Prabhupada came. And he came to America to start his mission there. Everything became auspicious. It was a very inauspicious time. Very inauspicious. Socially speaking, everyone was rebelling against the straight society, the young people who were leaving, were becoming intoxicated. They wanted freedom. He cried for freedom. This is a very subtle contamination. Prabhupada said, this means then be a Krishna. When you want your freedom, which everybody does. We all want our freedom. But Prabhupada said it's an indication of the envy, or the anger that you have for Krishna. Why can't I be free like Krishna? He is complete. Why can't I be? This is envy. This is very deep rooted. Disease we have, we want our freedom, we don't like to be restricted. It's so hard simply to follow these rules and regulations, mainly because of this idea of my freedom. Why must I restrict myself? Now we're forcing ourselves to restrict ourselves in Krishna consciousness and so many things. It's a good thing, but we have to force ourselves. But it's up to desire there, and why should I restrict myself? I want to be free. Anyway, Prabhupada comes and creates auspiciousness. I have created your auspiciousness. And it's a fact that when such a personality comes, it's like these demons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaka, are so powerful that simply by their presence on the planet, they just made everything contaminated and bad. So simply by the presence of a pure devotee on the planet, he makes everything auspicious. And actually we experienced that. And Prabhupada turned very inauspicious creatures into auspicious creatures.
picking him up from that inauspicious position. And not only people, but the whole environment was lifted up. Here the whole environment becomes contaminated. Prabhupada says, impious trees, impious lands, it's in the impious planets and things like that. So everything, when Prabhupada came, he picked up the whole atmosphere of the world. And as a result of his presence, then suddenly there was a great influx in Christianity. So many groups sprung up. Children of God, this one and this one. So many different branches of Christianity. The young people, you know. Before that, the young people, it was kind of the church was for the fuddy-duddies and, you know, we don't really want to go there. And so the churches were all becoming empty. Carpet factories, you heard yesterday, they turned into places for selling carpets because you have a nice area there. And so this was the situation they were closing. People weren't, but when the, by Prabhupada's presence, immediately people started to turn towards spiritual life. This Narottam Thakur says, just by being in your presence, sins go far away. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. The idea is when just one moment's association with a devotee is sufficient to take you back to Godhead. Just one moment, which Prabhupada says is 1/11 of a second. It's not so much time, but simply by being in his presence for that moment can change your whole life. The idea is that the soul is searching for his love for Krishna. This is what he's lacking. In the material world it's covered, so he wants that. That is the greatest thing he can do. That is his eternal constitution, his greatest happiness. Now that's been uncovered. And he's searching for that. And simply by the presence of a devotee on the planet, he comes into contact, even near to that presence. Subconsciously, his soul is saying, oh, what's that? What is that? That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm searching for. I mean, we've been through 8,400,000 species of life thinking this was going to get me happy. This will get me happy. Again and again and again. Some feeling, suddenly you're in contact with a pure devotee. This spiritual atmosphere, this is the soul. Oh, this is what I'm searching for. And it just attracts people. Many of our devotees, just by being in the presence of, they claim, someone was saying this at the college, he didn't even know who Prabhupada was or anything about it, but he happened to walk past the classroom and they'd invited there for Prabhupada for a class. He didn't know anything. And a few weeks later he was in the temple. And he said, I'm putting it down to the fact that I walked in Prabhupada's presence in the classroom, but I didn't even listen to anything. But simply by him, just started your search again. So that was a big thing in the 60s. There was a whole search again, searching for the truth. And people were giving up their homes. They were. And also, at the same time, the so-called piety and materialistic life developed. It was called the Renaissance period. And it was when all the great artists, all the great musicians, all the great thinkers, they all started popping up at that time. Still today you see those great paintings and frescoes. They're beautiful. You can't. And beautiful architecture, all centered around God, the big cathedrals and churches. Beautiful. You go to the Vatican, it's incredible. Artwork and everything there. That was all coming at the same time because Prabhupada just pushed the whole consciousness out. So everything becomes auspicious. And he says when the Acharya leaves, again everything becomes inauspicious. So if we can keep that spirit alive, then we can maintain that auspiciousness in the world. So anyway, it's auspicious or inauspicious. In this material world, it doesn't really matter. It all inauspicious, but still. Even Prabhupada would consult the Panchika sometimes before leaving. He thinks generally he couldn't go out in the afternoon like when the Barbella was there in auspicious time, around about 3 or something. Generally you wouldn't start a journey at that time. Prabhupada would always postpone it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to consult Panchika before he left, before he went anywhere. One time there was a story that he was here, and he was going to go out for a walk, but every time he left he would consult. And he said, he said some of his disciples, he said, no, we'll wait. So they waited half an hour or so, then they left. And then on the path where they were walking, the big tree had blown down right across the path, and the people said, you know, it happened like half an hour before he arrived. So he read the Panchika and said there was some danger there, so he didn't come. And a tree had fallen. He may have been there at that time if he had left at that time, so he avoided it. So there are ways of counteracting, but and generally people in general should follow these Panchikas and do things at auspicious times that make everything good for them. But for transcendentalists, practically there's no, there's no reason to wait at all. If something is inauspicious to do for Krishna, do it right now. This is the saying. You should do it immediately. Don't wait. If it's important for Krishna, do it immediately. Don't wait for an auspicious time. And we see Prabhupada often used to do that. He would often give initiations. And he would generally on a Purnima, I know this, he would always say, if a Purnima was nearby, full moon, okay, I have initiation. Or he would consult an auspicious day, someone's appearance day, something like Vaishnava's appearance day, experience day. He would have it on that. But if he was staying in the temple and just visiting for a few days and they wanted an initiation, he wouldn't wait for an auspicious time, okay, just have it. He would just do things. So he wasn't really so much that concerned. But he would follow when he would look, have a look anyway. If it was convenient, he would follow that good advice, but if not, he would disregard it anyway and go ahead. It's like in eclipses are inauspicious. So everybody goes to the Ganga and chants Hare Krishna during the eclipse. When Mahaprabhu appeared, it was very auspicious because everybody went in and chanted Hare Krishna. So they make it auspicious. But in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, then it was an eclipse. So Jagadish Prabhu, he asked Sri Prabhupada, what shall we do? Prabhupada said, what do the local people do? He said, they put the deities to sleep. So they close everything up. They don't make any offerings. They don't do any artics. They close everything up until the eclipse has passed. Then they wash everything, temple with cow dung and everything like that. Then they start their cooking and open up and Papa Krishna have an arti. Prabhupada said, oh, they said, what should we do, Srila Prabhupada? He said, then just close the front doors, lock the front gates, so no outside people can come in. He said, then you can carry on as normal. But just to keep, so the others don't complain, just lock the outside gates. So this is the situation. And like many times here, Gaur Purnima, we hear many times it's an eclipse on Gaur Purnima. Eclipses only come on the full moon when the sun and the moon are opposite. So the atheists can verify their theories of shadow reflection. This is very expert, satisfying the atheists. So Gaur Purnima, many times there are eclipses we've experienced. So what do we do? You know, all the devotees here from worldwide, there's a huge festival going on. It was right at the time of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. You know, we have a big Abhishek and everything like that. So what do? We close everything up and all the devotees come all the way all around the world to celebrate Gaur Purnima. Sorry. Eclipse, we have to close the deities. I remember one time I went to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to ask them what they were doing. It was eclipse, it fell right at Sunday Arctic time. So I went And I spoke to the pundit there, what do we do? He keeps his coming right on Sunday night. It's the biggest time for us all the guests to hear, coming from Calcutta, different places. Oh, we have to close the doors. We should not cook anything during that period because it can come contamination over inside. And because it's a contaminated period, you close the doors and so the deity can't see. So there's no contamination coming, and then afterwards you clean the temple, and then after that you can decide, okay. So then we had a meeting here about the festival, and then someone said, well, it's the eclipse, what are we going to do? The eclipse. And I said, well, I went to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I made an inquiry, and they told me like this. And Bhakti Krishnamurti said, they didn't say that. I said, they did. They wouldn't say that. I said, they did. I went there and asked them. No, they didn't say that. So let me call them up. So he called the junkie. And he called the manager. He said, it's an eclipse. What are you doing there? He said, nothing. Oh, he just worked in there. And some of the other people going at the end. Same, those were in here, same person. So the thing is, if you approach a pundit, he's obligated to tell you according to Shastra. What the rules and regulations are according to Shastra. The pundit is obliged to give his knowledge. But the managers, they're on a different level, they, you know, because it's for preaching. Then they can transcend these rules and regulations of the Shastra. So we see there are alternatives sometimes. So that's actually the only thing that can counteract anything that's auspicious in the world is the holy name. Harinam, Harinam, Guru Nashti, Vanashti, Vanashti. So here, even though in this terrible situation, I think Prabhupada on the Saraswati Thakur says, this material world is full of faults, unlimited faults, and but the association of devotees and the holy name are so powerful that simply by the associating with devotees, even you give up your desires for liberation. In other words, the material world is so bad. If anybody's not after liberation, he's the fool number one in this material world. If he's not trying to get out of the world, he's the fool number one. But he said, the association of devotees and the holy is so great that even you'll give up your desire for liberation to take the process of devotional service. So this is the all auspicious thing that can counteract anything. Simply take shelter of the holy name and all auspiciousness is created. Okay. Jai Shri Mahabhagatam ki. Jai Prabhupada ki. Jai Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Gopinanda ki. Any comments?
Prabhupada said,
totally. He sang in Bombay also. Jamuna Chatterjee was going to Vrindavan. Then Panditji, Pradyumna Prabhu Charini. He said, he consulted the Panditji. When is the best time to leave? And Pradyumna said, half an hour ago, Srila Prabhupada. Should have left half an hour. And Prabhupada said, okay, anyway, go. Subhav Maharaj also tells a story. I think it was after Gopurnima then. And they were going on a preaching party. From that time they brought these Mercedes buses here. Eight Mercedes buses. So they were all going out preaching in different directions. And Subhav Maharaj, he was going on a bus with Hamsakuta Prabhu. And they wanted to go across. There was no bridge at that time across the Ganga, so they used to go by ferry boat. The cars would go on the ferry boat. So Subhav Maharaj, he always checks the Pandrika, so he said, it's inauspicious, we shouldn't go, leave. And all the devotees of Ham said, no, we'll just go anyway. So Subhav Maharaj said, no, it's not a very good sign. So anyway, they got down to the Ghat, and they were behind the lorry. The lorry went on first onto the ferry, and somehow or another it slipped off the edge and the lorry rolled right over and into the water. They managed to save the driver. And Subhav Maharaj said, I told you we should wait a bit. So I said, is it okay? We waited a little bit longer. So then they waited a little bit longer. And still Subhav Maharaj didn't go. He got a little ferry, another passenger boat. He didn't go on the ferry boat. He went on the passenger boat. Anyway, he had to go in that direction. By that time it did happen. The inauspicious thing didn't. But the devotees were safe. And the Dhamma Prabhu. I said, Prabhupada quoted, this is our disease. We want to be as free as Krishna. Why can't I be as free as Krishna? Krishna's completely free to do anything what he wants. Why can't I be like that? Prabhupada said, this is envy or anger. You're angry with Krishna, right? And Ganadhara Prabhu was saying, what's the answer to that? No, if you want to become as free as Krishna, then it's quite simple. You have to become a devotee completely surrendered. You'll get that quality of freedom, that Krishna's complete freedom. Freedom in slavery. This is Sridharaswami's teaching. We are teaching freedom in slavery. So become a slave to Krishna. Then you'll become as free as Krishna. But as long as we hold on to that position of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, be free separately from Krishna, then there is no solution to that problem. There is no solution. Thank you very much.